Laudator Jesus Christus. Vatican and World News.
Today, April 24th, 2025, is Thursday within the octave of Easter and the feast of St. Fidelis of Sigmaringen, Capuchin priest and martyr. And these are today's headlines. At this morning's General Congregation, the cardinals begin discussions about the needs of the Church and of the world. A group of migrants will be participating in the funeral mass for Pope Francis. And Church and world leaders continue to share their memories of the late pontiff. In the Vatican, I'm Christopher Wells. Our top story today, the Vatican announced on Thursday that 130 delegations from various countries and organizations have so far confirmed that they will take part in the funeral mass for Pope Francis on Saturday. These include 50 heads of state and 10 reigning sovereigns. They will join hundreds of thousands of pilgrims and mourners at the Eucharist in St. Peter's Square to bid farewell to the late Argentine Pope. Separately, the 113 cardinals present in Rome today held their third general congregation in the Vatican's new Synod Hall. The interregnum governing body of the Church announced the names of those who will deliver the two pre-conclave meditations, as Devin Watkins reports.
The director of the Holy See Press Office, Matteo Bruni, informed journalists about the third general congregation of cardinals held on Thursday morning. He said 113 cardinals were present for the congregation in the new Synod Hall, which began at 9 a.m. with a prayer and concluded 3 hours later, including a half-hour break. Those cardinals who had not yet done so took the oath in accordance with the apostolic constitution, Universi Domenici Gregis, and there were 34 interventions. The cardinals decided that Cardinal Victor Manuel Fernandez will celebrate the Mass on the sixth day of the Novem Dialis instead of Cardinal Kevin Farrell. They also agreed that Father Donato Oliari, abbot of St. Paul Outside the Walls, will deliver the first meditation on Monday, and that Cardinal Raniero Cantalamessa, preacher emeritus of the papal household, will deliver the second meditation at the beginning of the conclave, whose starting date has not yet been decided. The cardinals then began a conversation about the Church and the world to guide their deliberations. Mr. Bruni announced that the next general congregation will take place on Friday morning at 9 a.m. He noted that 61,000 people have paid their respects to the late Pope Francis as of 1 p.m. on Thursday, adding that St. Peter's Basilica could stay open beyond midnight if large crowds are still queuing to enter. The Holy See also announced that following Pope Francis's funeral mass on Saturday, several recipients of the Church's charitable activities will stand on the steps of the Basilica of St. Mary Major to welcome his coffin and pay their respects. According to a statement, the initiative recalls that the poor have a privileged place in the heart of God and seeks to recall the magisterium of the late Pope, who chose the name Francis so as to never forget the poor. Mr. Bruni said that on Saturday, April 26th, a rosary will be held in front of the Basilica of St. Mary Major. Starting the morning of Sunday, April 27th, the faithful may begin to visit the tomb of Pope Francis at the Marian Basilica. I'm Devin Watkins.
Also at the funeral on Saturday, a group of delegation of migrants and refugees will be taking part. As Joseph Tulloch reports, the migrants will be part of an official delegation from Mediterranea Saving Humans, an Italian NGO that had close ties with Pope Francis.
Among the mourners at Pope Francis's funeral in St. Peter's Square on Saturday, there will be a group of migrants and refugees. That was the announcement made earlier today by Mediterranea Saving Humans, an Italian NGO that rescues migrants at sea, and met with the Pope several times. The delegation will be composed of both rescue personnel and migrants who were tortured in deportation camps in Libya. In a statement, Mediterranea said that the Pope was, quote, always on the side of the poor and marginalised. The NGO added that the funeral would be an occasion to, quote, say goodbye to our Pope, who we considered a member of the crew, and added that Francis will always be with us, beginning with our next mission at sea, which will launch soon. We will continue, Mediterranea said, with even more determination the activities that we have always carried out, rescuing people in danger of dying and rejecting the logic of discarding human beings, of deportation camps and of war. The NGO added that Pope Francis had taught them that believing in visceral love for the helpless and suffering means practicing hope. Pope Francis's funeral will take place in St. Peter's Square this Saturday at 10 a.m. Rome time and will be broadcast live in English by Vatican Radio and on the Vatican News website, Facebook page and YouTube channel. I'm Joseph Tullock.
Over the past 18 months of war in Gaza, the tiny Christian community of the devastated Palestinian enclave never fell forgotten by Pope Francis. The late pontiff called the parish of the Holy Family in Gaza hours after the war began in October 2023, marking the beginning of what became a nightly routine throughout much of the conflict, in which he offered comfort to the roughly 500 displaced Christians and others sheltered there. The parish priest at Holy Family, Father Gabriele Romanelli, spoke with Vatican News about his last phone call on Easter Saturday. Lisa Zeng tells us more.
Although they never met in person, Pope Francis had become a familiar voice for the displaced Christians in the Church of the Holy Family. Nearly every night since the war broke out in the enclave, the late Pope would ring the parish to offer words of comfort, even during his 38 days of hospitalization. During those phone calls, he would make sure to speak not only to the parish priest, Father Gabriele Romanelli, but to everyone else, taking the time to inquire how they were doing, to ask whether they had eaten, expressing his particular concern for the children sheltered there. Father Romanelli told Vatican News that his last call was on Saturday night, 2 days before his death. Pope Francis was a pastor who loved and followed our community, he said. He told us he was praying for us, blessed us, and thanked us for our praise on his behalf. In the interview, the priest expressed his hope that his tireless appeals for peace won't be ignored, that the bombing will stop, that the hostages will be released, and that humanitarian aid will reach those who are suffering. We pray, he concluded, that men and women of goodwill will heed his constant and urgent appeal for peace in Gaza and the world. Although Pope Francis has passed away, the Church's support for the Holy Family Parish continues. Apart from sheltering about 500 people, including more than 50 Muslim disabled children and their families, the church serves as a base for food, water, and medical assistance for thousands of nearby families. Since Israel reimposed a total blockade on Gaza and the collapse of the two-month ceasefire in early March, the strict humanitarian crisis has reached unprecedented levels. I am Lisa Zingarini.
And we continue to offer reflections from various people from around the world, especially church and world leaders who remember Pope Francis and his impact in world affairs and in church affairs. The former president of the U.S. Bishops' Conference, Archbishop Joseph Kurtz, the Archbishop Emeritus of Louisville, has remembered Pope Francis especially for his unforgettable closeness to the people and his constant message of mercy. In an interview with Vatican Radio's Deborah Castellano-Lubov, he also remembered Pope Francis' historic visit to the United States in 2015.
First of all, not only the Church, but the world is mourning the death of Pope Francis. It's hard for me to believe that it's almost 10 years since he made his official pastoral visit or pilgrimage, if you would, to the United States. That was in September of 2015. And of course, my mind and heart are filled with memories. When I reflected on it, I thought the church and our nations saw in Pope Francis the face of God's mercy. He conveyed that. He was clear to saying that he's not the Messiah, that Jesus is the one. But I think he was received so well. I think we live in such a hurting world that people yearn to hear the message of mercy. I recall, of course, his visit to Washington and to visit with the president at the White House and the joint meeting of Congress. I think it was his address at the joint meeting of Congress that was the most moving to me. Perhaps it will be the most remembered in many ways, not just in church records, but in the history of our nation. He spoke, of course, of freedom, the need to use freedom well and to treat people with dignity, especially spoke about American heroes, people, everybody from Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. to Thomas Merton to Dorothy Day. I mean, he made his presentation so personal and personable. One of his visits was a visit to a prison in Northeast Philadelphia, and I accompanied him along with others. His opening public exhortation, Gaudete et Gaudium, and the joy of the gospel, is something that perhaps will tie together the 12 years of his service as our Holy Father. Our church mourns, but I think many of us will just reel in the beautiful memories of our Holy Father.
And that was Archbishop Joseph Kurtz, former Archbishop of Louisville and former president of the U.S. Bishops Conference. Finally, this evening, the Reverend Dr. Ann Burkhart is the General Secretary of the Lutheran World Federation. She spoke with Vatican Radio about the ecumenical and interreligious legacy of Pope Francis's pontificate.
What definitely one of his strong legacies is his call for unity, for not only Christian unity, but for recognizing sibling in every human being whom we meet. And I do think that his will to bring people from different walks of life together in times where polarization seems to be taking over in almost all societies is extremely strong legacy, and I do hope that we can continue to walk in this spirit. And I very much hope that the processes that the Pope started and the spirit in which he was basically leading these processes can continue in the Roman Catholic Church and be inspirational not only for Roman Catholic Christians, but indeed for many others.
What will be your hope for the path as we go forward as regards relations and fraternity between Catholics and Lutherans?
My hope would be that we continue to walk on the way of getting closer together in recognizing the same Holy Spirit that has been bestowed upon the Church. And my hope is that we continue to come together also in order to discuss difficult issues if needed, but to continue to create spaces where different opinions can meet and where we can find what we so often call a differentiated consensus, where we might not end up with the exact same wording, with the exact same understanding of each and every detail, but where we manage to reach the joint roots of our faith that inspire us today as well, and that we always take unity as the point of departure, not that what divides us.
And that was the Reverend Dr. Ann Burkhart, General Secretary of the Lutheran World Federation. And that brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. We do invite you to visit our Vatican News web portal at www.vaticannews.va, as well as our Facebook, X, and Instagram, as well as YouTube pages for all the latest news. Many thanks to our sound technician, Alberto Giovanetti, in studio in the Vatican. I'm Christopher Wells.